Hey, mixtape listeners. You can find us every Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Hey guys. Excuse me. Hey guys. It's me. It's 2:05 in the morning, Friday. The day in which you'll be hearing this delightful episode featuring the one and only Tough Juice, Caron Butler. It's just the interview. Again, much like the Ben Wallace one, it was too strong to bog down with the incessant ramblings of me and Tyler. But me, Tyler, and our close personal friend, Adam Ferrone, do have some just preposterous diamond talk. Some gold, frankincense, and myrrh talk as well before Caron called in. Actually, while he was on the phone listening, we didn't know, which is always great. I think we were talking about like how like the most famous knife stabbing is bigger than the most famous like assassination. I don't know. You'll hear it. It's coming up soon. But we forgot to record the ad. That's why I'm here now listening to, I mean, it's December 21st. And 21 Savage just snuck in, dropped the album of the year. That's my take. I don't care if it's right or wrong. It's my take right now. I'm on my third listen. There's nothing I can do about it. Just what it is, what it is. But we have good news for you stoolies out there. And people just listening to this. If you don't identify as a stoolie, it's almost 2019. You can identify as whatever you want. But for whoever's listening to this right now, our favorite hot sauce company has all the last-minute gifts that you need. That's right. It's Fuego Bucks. They've put together a ton of hot sauce gift options at all price points. Fuego Bucks hot sauces have the perfect blend of heat and flavor. Family and friends will be so thankful for a gift this quality, buddy. You won't even believe how thankful they'll be. No way they will know you waited until the last minute to pull the trigger. All you have to do is go to fuegobox.com/barstool for 10% off everything. Everything. 10% right out of there. Lopped it right off. That's fuegobox.com/barstool. FUEGOBOX.com/BARSTOOL. So next week we do have an episode dropping on Tuesday as per usual. We don't take days off. I don't care if it's the biggest holiday of all time. It's already recorded. It's already in the can, as we like to say in the business. This is what we do. And then next Thursday or Friday, I don't know when it'll drop. It'll come out Thursday or Friday. We have two episodes coming next week. We don't stop. Kidding me? What do we look like? You think Caron Butler goes on podcasts of people who slow down this time of year? Heavens no. Come on now. Get your head back in the game. All right? Please. Well, for Caron, please. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules ain't slain anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
So, having a sit with my close personal friend, Adam Ferrone.
Is that Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, friend.
How's it going, pal?
Healthy, wealthy, and wise, as Benny Frank said.
Handsome, too.
Stop. You must be looking in a mirror.
Oh, cut it out, you.
You must have just seen a reflection of yourself in that crystal that surrounds your house, you rich bastard.
Oh, stop this. Cut it out right now.
You wealthy son of a bitch. In spirit,
no,
too.
Seriously, shut the fuck up. Could...
you don't talk
yeah, what's the haps, fellas?
Nothing. We were just talking geopolitical conflicts and how diamonds are actually intrinsically worthless.
I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the...
Which one do you want to dive into, the geopolitical or diamonds?
Let's go diamonds.
Yeah, so it's all completely man-made. There's almost an infinitesimal amount of diamonds on this planet. They constantly keep...
A lot of them.
Yeah, they constantly keep being made just from the pressure below the Earth's surface. And the De Beers company made it so that they're so completely tied to the institution of marriage that they've... built pretty much a self-sustaining industry where they can make the prices whatever the fuck and everyone has to pay.
Pretty much. You think John De Beers went up to like Fernando Marriage and was like, yo, I got a proposition.
Let's get in bed together.
Yeah, you make this marriage thing. My son will marry your daughter. He'll give her one of these diamonds. I've got trillions. yes, people would do this forever. And Fernando was like, yes, I agree.
He was like, it'll never work, De Beers. What are you getting at?
They
you're
really
a fool.
Said, you know how it's like supposed to be 3 months' salary or whatever? That was like a De Beers ad campaign.
Yeah.
It was just like,
oh,
fucking,
yeah.
They just had a
sure
fucking
was.
Ad.
And now it's still
you
true.
You gotta respect it, though. Yeah, like you gotta respect like just the commitment.
It's incredible.
Listen, everyone just bought it hook, line, and sinker. No one ever asked questions until like 10 years ago. Like, wait a second. They keep making these fucking things.
Yeah, no, there are more diamond mines than ever.
Right. They're like, because that was one part of the original sell, too. Like, these are very rare. You're not going to be able to find these forever. Get your limited edition American Eagle quarter for $50.
Meanwhile, there's like 32 million people working in a diamond mine at gunpoint. Like, just... shipping out millions and millions of dollars worth of diamonds every day. Fucking wild. They got us, man. The diamond guys got us.
I'm all in on tanzanite.
Hook, line, and sinker, yeah.
Someone told us that tanzanite was like a bluer, rarer diamond from Tanzania. Just as not... Okay. Like, diamond's as strong of a name as you can have.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Tanzanite.
And again, to be fair, they look amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
They sparkle.
Strong look.
It's a strong-looking rock. There's no argument about it. But if Tanzanite... We need to come up with better branding for Tanzanite.
A new name.
Yeah.
Divorce.
A divorce ring?
The ring for the divorce. Hell yeah. There's more divorces than marriage, man. I ought to kill you both and then take this idea for myself.
Fuck, you could. You could easily kill us.
I'm
so
might.
Susceptible.
Yeah, he hasn't ruled it out.
So susceptible to some kind of drone striker.
Ugh. I could constantly be murdered at all hours of the day. I'm very unprepared.
Sure.
Stabbing.
Sure.
I don't know what to do with this.
Shooting.
What do I do with this stabbing? So many people, like, stabbing used to be so popular. Hand-to-hand
combat. It really
combat.
Would. It had a good run.
It did, bro. Stabbing, there was, like, fucking probably, like, 5,000 years of stabbing. Just stabbing.
Probably longer than that.
Yeah, no. People being stabbed for ages. Mm-hmm. That's all they had.
Millennia.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a shooting that was more famous, rather infamous, than Caesar getting stabbed?
Yeah, it's nothing. Not yet. I mean, Wilkes Booth really tried. He made a
certainly
had
tried.
A run at the crown.
JFK's pretty good.
JFK's good, but we've only got what, like 60 years on that? Probably like 50. Probably closer to 50.
Yeah, let's say yeah.
And controversy swirls around that. Like, we don't know exactly. Oh, yeah. With Caesar, it's like, you know who did it.
Yeah.
He walked right up.
Several people stabbed him.
Yeah, they left that thing in the back.
Yeah, listen, dude, you don't believe the thing that happened 50 years ago for the thing that happened 500 million years
That's
ago.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Back. I don't think anything is going to top the most famous stabbing.
It is a good
know,
stabbing.
Man. They're going to come out with the bones of, like, actually, Caesar stabbed Judas. The whole time we were wrong.
We've demonized Judas.
Yeah, we need to fix
actually,
these calendars.
Brutus. Judas was another backstabber.
He was.
Brutus, yeah.
But
oh,
he didn't
right.
physically stab.
Judas and Brutus.
Et tu?
The Udus is just a bad omen.
Orenthal.
Barabbas. Barabbas probably got some stabbing in.
I hope.
Yeah, what
like
else?
That, yeah.
Name like that, a savage-ass name like Barabbas.
Yeah, if you're Barabbas and you're not stabbing, you're
someone
wrong.
Stab the doctor at
Barabbas
the delivery.
Stabs the bullet, man. he was this close to having to be a stabber.
Yeah, he doesn't have the gumption to stab.
No.
Are you a gold, frankincense, or myrrh guy?
It's a good question, Adam.
That's Coley's question to me. I want to pass it along, pay it forward.
What is myrrh? First question. Is it like another scent?
Yes.
It's a scent. We looked this up. It's like a gum okay. tree
gum
scent.
Resin, yes.
Gum resin scent.
Okay. I think I'd be frankincense feels like in the middle. Like, I'm not gold guy, but I was like, I don't want to bring up the rear. I'm nice. I'm frankincense.
Yeah, myrrh does seem like kind of an afterthought. How do you engage how do you unlock the gum, you know, the gum smell? Like, right. Do you have to burn it, or is it just stinky gum?
I think it's one of those, what are the, like, the bowl that you, like, have, like, this...
A mortar and pestle?
Yes.
You, like, mash it up?
Yeah, I think it's some mashing that goes on.
You have to mash up your myrrh.
What about you, fellas?
I'm definitely also a frankincense guy.
I'm a gold man.
You're a gold guy. You're a good gift guy. Roan, you're a gold man?
Yeah. Cole, you're wearing gold right now. You got a gold chain.
Yeah, this is bronze.
This is actually frankincense.
This is
tanzanite. Yeah. Tanzanite. You're gold, Adam?
I think I'd go gold. I mean, just knowing what I know now, the fact that gold has stood the test of time.
Hindsight
is, 2020. At the time, maybe I'd be a myrrh guy.
Yeah, at the time, you're a big myrrh guy. I can see you being very short-sighted with that.
Yeah. I put all my money in myrrh. Myrrh was like the Bitcoin of the time.
Yeah, myrrh is going to be booming. Booming and bunking this myrrh.
Buying gold big on myrrh.
Like, yeah, okay.
This cocksure gold guy, he knew what he's doing. Crypto
gold
market.
Strong name, too.
Gold's an incredible name. Oh, Karan?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm sorry for that completely idiotic conversation you just walked in on.
It's all good, bro.
All right, we recording, Andrew? How you doing today, man?
Good, you?
I'm doing pretty well. I can't complain. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler, who's down in Atlanta, also on the phone.
Hey, Karan, how's it going?
Hey, Tyler, what's going on?
Not too much. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Is there anything specifically you want to hit on or stay away from that we should know before we get started?
I'm all open. If not, I know how to skate around something if I don't.
Good to know. All right. So this is Mixtape. We are here with the one and only Tough Juice himself, Karan Butler. How's it going today, pal?
I'm doing great, man. Got off to an early morning, finishing this Christmas shopping.
Okay.
It's crazy. Busy.
So you're a leave it to the last week kind of guy?
Yeah, you know what? I try to get as much done as possible periodically, like 30 days prior during that whole home stretch. But now I'm at the super home stretch. I'm in the fourth quarter, so I try to finish everything by, you know, tomorrow or Friday at the latest.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I know. Tyler,
that still feels like third quarter.
Yeah, Tyler's waiting till 2 minute warning.
Yeah, no, I come alive when the lights are on.
That sounds like a lot of gift cards.
Oh, correct. There's so many gift cards, and I just run in and just buy them all. They'll never go wrong.
What are you looking forward to for Christmas this year? What's a good gift for Karan Butler?
Hey, you know what? I like things that, you know, hold value, that people like put a lot of thought in. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, people always say, you know, what do you get someone that has, you know, everything? And it's, I mean, I always say, you know, I don't have everything, but I have a lot and I'm rich at heart. But I want things that mean something, like that people put thought into and, you know, kind of just say, you know what, this is catered to him. And you can tell by the gift, you know what I mean? So that means a lot.
Okay, so like a nice bar of gold you're all in on?
No doubt.
1,000 diamonds. Yeah.
You know, honestly, I really look forward to my kids' gifts, though, because they're so creative and, you know, they're artsy, so they put together, like, some amazing things. So I'm looking forward to getting some gifts from my kids.
All right, so they're going the homemade route? They're not going to hand you, like, a tie and some socks?
No, man, they on the budget, man. They know the value of
money. Yeah, times are tough, man.
Yeah, they make the stuff, and then they spend my money.
Pretty good.
Sounds like they got it figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they figured it out early.
I think I might have a good gift for you, Karan. Are you, you're a Packers fan? Is this true?
Unfortunately, this year, yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to get you a quarterback for Christmas. What do you think? Wow.
Oh, what do you think? I don't need a quarterback.
You might.
What do you think?
I need a coach.
You need a lot.
Who do you want in there? Yeah, who do you want in there?
I need a coach ASAP.
Do you have your eye on anyone right now, or you trust the ownership to get the right guy in there?
Yeah, you know what? Look, I trust the ownership. This is a crucial time right now just because you look at Aaron Rodgers and the longevity he has had and now committed, you know, for a long-term deal. You know, you want to put the right pieces around him. You know, it can't be a one-man wrecking crew, you know, and you know, you want to put some pieces around him that give you a legitimate shot, you know, for, you know, pretty much the rest of his time, you know, in that Packer uniform. And I feel like he still could perform at a high level, had some crazy injuries, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, especially with the knee. But, you know, as long as he's healthy, I always feel good.
What do you think of the Bears? Do the Bears, do you think they can get a run this year, or is this just regular season team that Mitch isn't good enough to take him to the Super Bowl?
Man, listen, I don't really talk on the Bears too much. I'm one of those guys. You know, Quentin Richardson, D-Wade, Sean Marion, they've been calling me, texting, all this. Look, man, I'm like, yo, miss me with all that. Y'all, where did y'all come from? Like, you know what I mean? Like, was nobody saying anything about the Bears for all these years, and all of a sudden everybody go bear down. I'm like, yo, right. I don't want to hear none of that.
Who's
they didn't call you during the Mike Glennon years.
No.
Yeah, man, come on, man. I ain't heard about them since the fridge. Everybody all jump in now.
Who's talking the most shit? I feel like Q Rich is constantly talking shit.
What?
Who's
Q Rich is going crazy. Like, dude, you inbox me, you direct message me, then you text me. I like, dude, I got the message, man. I got it.
Just making sure. Making sure.
I got red zone too. I saw the game.
Yeah, man. I said, bro, I'm watching the same thing you watching. I'm just shocked that you all of a sudden comment on this stuff. That's what's so crazy.
He's putting a lot of pressure on himself, though. If they lose, you gotta give it right back to him.
Yeah, because it doesn't even matter if you lose and you've done all that. It's crazy.
Right. That's why it's kind of no lose. That's why he's doing the shit talking.
Say that again.
I mean, we could talk football all day. We might. I don't know if you want to keep talking about Aaron Rodgers. I know Tyler has been on his ass all year, so that could turn left real quick. But
he had a good run.
He did. Yeah. No, admirable run. Nothing to shame.
Aaron Grossman. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with going to the twilight years of your career.
But damn. Yeah. No, it's not great. But. I mean, you specifically, I want to say it was on – did you ever go on Jay Leno, or did I just have, like, a weird fever dream?
I've been on Jay Leno. I've been on a lot of those, you know, older shows with Jay Leno, Oprah, all, the whole nine.
Yeah. Because this is the first time I heard you tell the story. You have one of the more fascinating paths to get to the NBA. I know you put it in your book, Tough Juice. But for people who don't know, how was it that when you were a teenager, you refined your skills in basketball?
Well, you know, I was incarcerated a few times early on in my life. You know what I mean? For, you know, selling drugs and just being, you know, a product of my environment, so to speak. You know what I mean? And no excuse, but that's what I was subjected to. And you know, being out there just in the midst of a lot of terrible shit, and, you know, finally, you know, going to corrections where I was in Ethan Allen Corrections, and I was in there for a little under 18 months. That's when I started playing basketball. You know, I was playing for Canteen and, you know, Little Debbie Cakes and all those shits. And, you know, one thing led to another where, you know, it was just like that was a lifestyle for me. You know what I mean? I started winning games and winning Canteen and, you know, got out, got on a traveling team, and, you know, my basketball career kind of took off from corrections. And once I hit the ground, you know, I just linked up with the right folks, and they put me in a situation where I can be a better version of myself on the basketball court.
Yeah, I'll never forget you telling that story for the first time I heard it, because I remember vividly you saying, like, orange juice is why I was as good. Like, you were just hustling people for their orange juice.
Yeah, man. You know, orange juice and anything that had sugar in it. You know what I mean? And it was just crazy, but people never knew that, because I never told that story, just because people made you feel like, you know, bad or ashamed that you come from those situations. And I was just like, man, the hell with it. Like, I want people to know where I come from. Right. I want the kids to see that this shit is possible, man. And, you know, be inspired by the story. So Jay Leno was the first time that I ever really, like, dove into it. And everybody was just like, damn, it was deep. And, you know, they applauded you for, you know, being brave enough to do that, because that's usually a sign of rejection, especially when you're in the corporate space and you're talking about the real shit. Like, people reject that. They don't receive it well. So, but they received it well. And, you know, here we are today.
Yeah.
Now, is that where you picked up the Mountain Dew Jones? How is that? Have you kicked the bug? Are you doing all right?
Yeah, I ain't messing with the Mountain Dew no more, but I'll be alive if I tell you I don't drink soda. But, you know, Mountain Dew is just, you know, something that, man, I was an addict, man. I was addicted to it, especially in my days, you know, prep school. I was there 2 years. I was at UConn for 2 years. I used to drink a Mountain Dew before every game.
Jesus Christ.
Every game, bro. And it wasn't until I came to the Lakers and I had, like, a Mountain Dew in the back, and Kobe was like, yo, what the fuck is you doing? Like, like, yo, man, you can't drink that stuff, man. That's going to burn your intestines out and all your insides out there. I was like, yo, like, this is my secret fuel right here. And I started doing,
like,
other
things. Like a 20
ounce?
Yeah, how much do we talking?
I have a 2 liter, bro.
That's absurd. I'll say it. That's absurd.
Yeah, it was
way too much soda.
I have a 2 liter. I'm like, somebody about to get their ass bust tonight.
It's shaking on the bench. You can't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I had to twitch it.
Everyone pictures Mountain Dew is like these, like, fat, like, guys in their basement playing, like, Xbox at 3 in the morning. And no, it's just Caron Butler, right? Ready to just give you buckets at the ready.
Yeah. It's a little hit.
Did you ever drink it on, like, did you ever have, like, because sometimes you'll see someone on the bench, they just have a cup of whatever. Were you ever drinking it during the game, or was this a strictly pregame?
Be honest.
Bro, sometimes I got it out there on the sideline.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
You know, I also had my straws. Man, look, I was a real addict. I'll be the first to tell you. Like, the first signs in the real, you know, recovery process is just admitting to your problem.
Correct.
I'm going to tell you, I was an addict. I was an addict for Mountain Dew. I had a real issue.
Are you still, like, chewing straws, too? I know that was a big thing you used to do.
Yeah, you know, I still chew straws occasionally. Not, you know, I'm not nervous like I used to be. Like, I used to do it for my nerves. It got me in a good place. But, okay. You know, after you did it for so long, it's just like it was routine. But, you know, I'm not performing in front of, millions of people every day. You know, they may hear my voice, but they don't hear it. They don't see me visually, so it's a different type of, you know, nerves and stuff like that that go into it.
Why McDonald's straws? What is it about those straws that gives the best chew?
Man, damn. I'm thinking, like, when I was a kid, and that was just what I used to chew on, and then it just came, like, you know, creature habit type thing where it's like, man, that's what I do, that's what I chew on, and if I didn't have that specifically, it was just, it threw off my whole shit. Like, it really did. Like, from being one of the vets on pretty much every team after my first 3 years, I was one of the older guys. I used to always tell the young guys, you know, whether it was Giannis or, you know, any of my rookies, like, yo, man, give me some straws from McDonald's. You know, we'll give me a Mountain Dew. Go get this. And, you know, they bring back my stuff. And that was just like my pregame. That was my go-to.
McDonald's does have a very durable straw. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the plastic is. It's a very durable straw. But do you think maybe you're not as nervous anymore? It's not all the sugar from the Mountain Dew. Maybe that's why you're not chewing. Just not 50 grams of sugar.
Bro, I had 48 ounces. Man, I'm telling you.
We believe you.
I'm glad you kicked the habit.
Man, you and me both.
Yeah, listen.
I had a hard time sleeping too.
Listen, yeah, I mean, listen. You ever feel like you're gonna go back to the Dew? You got two friends here. You can reach out and call. We'll talk you off that ledge.
Definitely doing that.
I have a special question here from someone else in the office. We have a saying that we've adopted around these parts at Barstool. It's an old Jim Calhoun quote. Yeah, that's right. He says, I fucked up. I took Caron Butler. I took Emeka Okafor. Ryan Gomes, he was 260 pounds in college, in high school. What was I supposed to do? I fucked up. What does that quote mean to you when you see Ryan Gomes? Are you like, man, I'm way better than you. Fuck Providence. Like, what was going on in Jim Calhoun's life during that quote?
Man, it was funny as hell because I don't know who the reporter was that actually asked that question, but you know, he was just like, yo, like, what the hell are you supposed to be doing? Like, what was I supposed to do with that situation? I took two lottery picks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I took Emeka Okafor, Caron Butler, and, you know, like, I think they turned out all right. You know what I mean? And, you know, Ryan Gomes had a good stretch, a good game. Still, that's my guy, close friend, former teammate. But, hey, man, like, shit, he did the right thing. I mean, I don't think anybody else would have done different. You know what I mean? It was just one game.
Ryan Gomes was still being...
It was a funny moment, though. It was funny.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. It gets brought up once a week around these parts. Anytime someone has a miscue or something goes wrong, look, I fucked up. I took Caron Butler and Mark Okafor. What was I supposed to do?
Shame on him.
Ryan Gomes, though, he was still in, like, the NBA's, like, commercial just for the NBA as recently as, like, 2 years ago. I've never understood why.
That's residuals.
Yeah, no, good for him. But it's just, like, I feel like we got a couple other faces of the league we could be mixing in here, no?
Yeah, man, Ryan milking it, man. Good for him, man. It's all about timing and being at the right place.
Yeah.
I think the producer probably is from Providence. That's what the fuck happened.
Probably. Yeah. I would.
Illusion. I got you.
Now, you, of course, bounced around the league a lot. What team did you have just the most fun on? Obviously, one team would come to mind for, like, craziest locker room, but what team did you most enjoy being a part of?
Yeah, you know what? I would have to say Dallas, you know, the championship team, and, you know, being a part of that team for 2 years, just because everybody was just so cool. Like, the energy was right. Everybody got paid. They had their money. It wasn't a battle of egos or anything like that. Everybody just wanted to win. But I did like, honestly, and it's not a sound bite or anything like that, because I'd be the first to tell you, you know, if I didn't have a good time somewhere, but I really enjoyed my experience, you know, pretty much everywhere. Like, everywhere had, like, a different type of this special place in my heart, you know what I mean? And, you know, I had the most fun as an individual, you know, from personal achievements in Washington. You know, I had an amazing experience running with Kobe. You know, just learning so much about the game and the craft and how to study and evaluate myself and being honest with myself. And, you know, I learned so much about, you know, the game, a life in basketball, you know, being under Pat Riley in Miami, you know, created some friendships that last a lifetime with Eric Spoelstra, Dwayne Wade, Bob McAdoo, you know, Udonis Haslem, all those guys, like, and every other step of the way. Like, it's just, you know, it's like a forever thing if you do it right. And, you know, I came in there with a different mindset, a different perspective. I went through some real shit early. So I didn't come in as a kid. I came in as a young man, and I knew exactly what I wanted to get out of this space, and I didn't let the game use me.
Where do you think the craziest place the game has taken you? Like, I know you went over to China with the Retired Players Association, met up with Marbury. What's the one moment you had where it was like, man, I can't believe the game took me here?
I'm going to tell you, bro. So I end up in Afghanistan, and I'm on a base, and it's me, Sam Perkins, and Ivory Lott, and we're all together. And we're just, you know, talking to the troops. It's a USO movement. And, you know, that's something that I thought that I would do if I didn't make it, you know, professionally in the NBA or something like that. I was just like, damn, you know, I'll serve my country. I'll be in that space. I travel, I see the world, I do all these things. And, you know, I got a chance to do that. And I was just like, damn, like, I'm really in Afghanistan, you know, all on the strength of basketball. And it's just amazing. Like, I've seen so much of the world. I've been to Spain, I've been to Germany, I've been to Africa, you know, China over 10, 15 times, you know, the Philippines, you know, worked that strip, and India and everything, just all off. You know, basketball, the game's taking me so many places, man, and it's no ceiling, and it's, you know, still happening to this day.
Strong agree. Good answer.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, man. Like, you just never know, like, when you pick up the round ball and, you know, you want to make, like, your dreams are so small in the big realm of things. Like, if you come from the block or whatever, you know, you just like, damn, like, I just want to get out of this. And then right. You get out of that, and then, you know, you're thinking different. Like, you're evolving, and you're like, I want to get out of this. And then you get out of that, and there's so many layers and levels to it. And then all of a sudden now it's like, I want to give back to this. I want to give back to that. Like, that's that's the point of my life where I'm at now, like, where I'm just like, the game's been so good to me and my family and to, you know, so many loved ones close to me in my circle, where it's changed the landscape of their life, you know what I'm saying, the forecast of their futures, you know, and we're just trying to, you know, reach back, touch as many as possible, and, you know, and just inspire, and that's, you know, that's been my whole initiative, and that's how I'll be going forward.
Yeah, now you're talking on a global level for that, but also on a local level, on June 8th every year in Racine, Wisconsin, is Caron Butler Day. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing day because, you know, the city, you know, appointed me that day back in, I think, 2008 or 9 or somewhere in there. And, you know, every summer we go back, we do an annual barbecue. We're the platinum sponsors of Juneteenth Day, you know, where we celebrate the proclamation of African-American freedom. And, you know, we just, you know, give back to the community as much as possible. We also educate and, you know, try to control the narrative of, you know, how we want to be perceived, how we should be perceived, and, you know, where we come from. We give, you know, history lessons and things like that. I think that's what it's all about, man. But the city embraced me. That's where the love started. Definitely where it's not going to end, but that's definitely where it started, and they gave me the confidence I need to, you know, kind of tackle all these goals that I'm, you know, putting in front of me.
Yeah, no.
That sounds like giving back something you've been wanting to do. How did you end up linking up with the retired players, like giving back, going to China, overseas, things like that, like in terms of you giving back?
You know what? I just think they saw what I was doing. You know what I mean? Because I think sometimes when people see your body of work and see, you know, the things that you're trying to accomplish and your vision, you know, one, that I think that's the carrot that attaches you, like that makes you like appealing to organizations and boards and different things like that. And, you know, you have to decide whether it's going to be a mutual great partnership going forward. And I felt like it was just, you know, a great situation for us to link up. And I wanted to expose, like, some of these other brothers, you know, retirees and everything, you know, that's away from the game, that's not, you know, tech savvy or, you know, social right. media savvy, and want to connect in a certain way. It's like, man, these are some of the things that I'm doing, and I love some of the things that you guys are doing. Let's build together. Let's make some things happen. So it's just a beautiful partnership.
Dang, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, very good. So do young guys, because you even said, like, after a couple years in the league, you were looked at as one of the old heads. Are there still young guys in the league now who you might not have even played with that reach out to you for advice?
All the time. You know, from, you know, Anthony Tolliver to, you know, guys like Udonis Haslam, Trevor Ariza, Dwayne Wade. You know, spent a ton of time with him. It's like one of my closest friends. You know, Boogie Cousins. I talked to a lot of the guys, man, and, you know, stay connected. And, you know, I'm always a phone call away. And I think why it's like that is because, one, you respect it. You know, you got to – I always played for the respect of my peers. But, you know, even when I was in my early 20s, you know, I was franchising and, you know, moving a little differently, buying property. And, you know, I wasn't into the whole night scene shit. Like, I wasn't going crazy with that. So, yeah. Like, I just felt like people saw the way that I went through some real life shit early, and they kind of knew my story amongst the NBA circle, where it was just like, damn, you know, you real life grown, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you've been right. through stuff. And I think right. people just respect that, you know what I mean? And it's just been like that. And I always open the door, open the window, you know, for, you know, if anybody ever want to, you know, bounce some off of me or need some real advice, I'm always honest. You know, I don't got a horse in the race. I show no favoritism, and I just keep it authentic.
So right now there's a ton of Anthony Davis trade rumors swirling around in the Lakers, one of the teams tied to that. What advice, as a guy who was traded a decent amount early on in your career, what advice would you give to like a Brandon Ingram or Alonzo Ball, like how to stay focused on just playing and not work and just keeping that noise out of their head?
Well, I mean, look, you only can control what you control. And I feel like you have to understand that this is a business. Basketball is a huge business, a big business. And you have to understand that every time you step out there on that platform, you're auditioning for, you know, everyone. Like,
right.
It's an audition. Mm. Like, if you have a good game, you have a hell of a game, that your stock go up. And that's how the market is. And the only untradeable guys, you know, in the association is probably the top four or five guys. And they go by the name of LeBron James, Kevin Durant, you know, guys like Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, maybe two more you could put on that list, give or take, and that's it. So outside of that, you have to understand that at any given time, your situation can change. So be an asset to a team, show that you're an asset to a team, and don't be disturbed by the noise. And you have to just keep that professionalism. And I think when you do that, in spite of being subjected to trade rumors and things like that, it shows your value in such a different way. So, you know, but on the opposing end, I think Anthony Davis is, you know, just a hell of a talent, man. Whoever gets him or receives him in any trade scenario is just going to be so much better from it. And he has to play so hard, man. Like,
right.
The player usage has to be, like, so crazy for them just to get a win, man. I'm talking about when you look at his numbers, they're astronomical.
Yeah.
Shit, 38.
Every night.
18 and 9 just to get a win. I'm like, damn. Like,
right.
Like, he swept the court. He made the points. He
sold some popcorn. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Anybody want popcorn? Anybody, you know, like, damn. Like, it's just so much. So, I mean, I know he's pretty much tired of that and want to be in a better situation. And, you know, being with Clutch Management, they're definitely looking at that situation. It's like, put him in the best place where, you know, he can win and excel and, you know, viewed as one of the greats, because I know that's what he's looking for.
Yeah. Is it? I guess it's kind of like a feather in your cap. Like, when you found out you were traded from Miami, you're probably like, well, what the hell? What are you doing? And they're like, it was for Shaquille O'Neal. And you were like, oh, okay. No, that's pretty good. Shaquille O'Neal is very good.
Yeah, I would have traded my damn self, man. I told people that all the time. Like, they was like, man, how you feel about it? I was like, bro, it's shit. It's whatever, man. Like, I was hurt because, you know, I just felt like that was my first introduction to the business of basketball. I felt like I'd never leave Miami. But, you know, once I found out I was trading for Shaq, I was like, shit, I would have traded myself. And then I'm going to L.A. Right. I'm like, man, I get to play with Kobe. Like, it's going to be dope. And I just, you know, kept it moving.
You might not answer this, but peak for peak, who was a better shooting guard, Kobe or Dwayne Wade?
Oh, Kobe.
Okay.
Yeah, he know that. Like, when you look at the top three shooting guards all the time, I always say it's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Like, that's just my opinion. I always say that he's top three. He understands my plays. Kobe got five titles. Dwayne Wade got three. Michael Jordan, 6-6. You know, they're the best. You know, I don't think you could tell the story of basketball without mentioning them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, again, you're tough juice, and you keep saying people knew you came from where you came from. You came in with a lot of respect. A lot of other guys have to show it in different ways or earn their stripes different ways. So if you had to fight five other people, you could put yourself on this team or you can pick five. Who would be your all dark alley team, like guys you'd want in the trenches with you, whether or not it's active players or guys you played with, whoever?
Oh, man. So this is tough, but okay, I'm going to go with Ron Artest.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Kareem.
Okay.
Ben Wallace.
The strong team so far.
Very.
I'm going to go with Jackie Christie.
Okay. Okay. You need a strong one.
And then
okay.
Throw myself on there.
Okay.
Yeah, then I'm gonna throw myself okay. on there.
Okay. Yeah, I think you guys are walking out of that one winners. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, Jackie about that action, man. Jackie gonna hit you in the head with a purse every day, man. I saw her go, and Rick Fox, and then I see her coming.
Kareem's just holding everybody off. No, you've got this well thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw what Kareem did. He popped my man good, man. Kareem got hit in the gut. And man, he just
he waited for it. waited for the right moment. Slugged him.
Yeah, I was gonna mention somebody else, but it was too vicious of a blow, so I don't want to bring him into the equation.
Well, I mean, you already have.
I just don't want to throw. I mean, it was devastating, man. It was like a black eye on the league, so I don't want to bring him up.
Okay.
It was on that black eye on that guy's face too. Yeah. It hit him really hard.
Yeah, man. Kermit Washington, man. He was shit.
Man,
that was a lot. That was devastating, man. That was devastating. People have to Google that name. They'd be like, who the hell are he talking about?
Shit. Those who know.
That was terrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you also brought up the two guys who started the Mouse at the Palace, so I think you're okay.
You're going to have them on the same team? Wow. Very bold.
Hell yeah.
They'll work it out. If they have they'd come together for a common enemy, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll scare the hell out of people.
All right.
That's half the battle, man. Intimidation, man. That's half the battle.
Now you played with some prolific, like all-time bucket getters. If you had 3 seconds left on the clock, you picked up your dribble for some unknown reason. You have to pass it to one person to get a three. It's either Kobe, Dwayne Wade, or Gilbert Arenas. Who are you throwing that rock to?
I would have to say Kobe Bryant, man.
I was hoping you'd say Gilbert.
Yep.
I got to go with Kobe just because he's a gamer. He got the most game winners. It varies between Gilbert. I'm going to tell you why. Because Gilbert can score from the perimeter in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And he can make the free throws. Dwayne Wade is a gamer. Got ice in his veins. Like, that's a tough one right there. I would have to go with Kobe on that.
Let me ask you this. Why do people keep jumping at Dwayne Wade's pump fake? They know he's not shooting it.
Yeah, but he has a unique way of selling you on it every time, and you just have to buy into it.
Who was it?
Do you?
Yeah, do you? I don't know if that's true. Someone was saying they were fining their players if they jumped at that. Like, that quote came out recently. I can't remember who it was. Someone was fining their players if they jumped at Dwayne Wade pump fakes. I feel like that's – you know he's not shooting it. He's like a 28% career three-point shooter. Just let him shoot.
Yeah, man, that's the same thing. But it's hard when you're in the heat of it because you're trying to catch the move. You don't want to get embarrassed. And everybody's like, KYP, that's know your personnel. And shit, that confuses young guys, man. Like, that's too much information thrown at them at once.
A lot of initials.
They forget on the fly, and it just happens.
All right, I guess.
Fair, yeah, okay. Yeah, I was hoping you'd say Arenas, too. I think Arenas is a guy, he doesn't get talked about as much, but you talk about a guy that would have thrived in this era, and they either get to the line or shoot 10 threes a game. How do you think Arenas would have done? How do you think that Washington team would have done?
Well, I think we would have done great because we was able to play with pace, and we was able to score on the perimeter, and we had guys that kind of was, you know, three guys that really could play three positions. You know what I mean? The brain of ball up the court. You had like the Princeton offense, the equal opportunity offense. So everybody was into sharing the ball, but that wasn't a thing back then. You know, people used to always be like, isolation ball, half court basketball. You got to have two go-to guys and everything else didn't matter. You had to have a traditional big. And we was trying to play the small ball thing then, but it just didn't make sense to no one.
Right. Yeah, because Antoine Jameson was shooting threes and they were like, no, what are you doing? Get in the paint.
Yeah, and we used to go small a lot where Antoine was out there at the five sometime where, you know, it was myself, Jared Jeffries, Gilbert. We'll put Deshaun Stevenson out there or something like that, and people would be like, "Well, you're not gonna be able to rebound the ball, and you guys too small." But we was trying to play with pace because we knew our advantage was scoring. Like, we were able to put 70 some plus points just between three guys up on the board night in and night out, but it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, no, you guys were true visionaries. Another visionary, and we'll leave you with this. I know you're a busy man. Last December, a little bit after your book came out, Mark Wahlberg announced that he was going to try and turn your life story into a movie. So the only question I have on that, who does Caron Butler want to play Caron Butler in Tough Juice, the movie?
Yeah, you know, my initial first suggestion was Michael B. Jordan. You know, I loved him just from The Wire and everything. But, you know, now I'm looking at, you know, other guys and people I respect their craft and they put a lot of time into it. I love Jacob Lattimore. I just love the way that he comes across on the screen, and it comes from a real place. So I love that young man, and you know, we're going through that process. I actually got to meet with Mark tomorrow, so you know, we're going through that process and getting things together. But we got our script complete. That was the big hurdle to get over, and we got everything together. So that's the next phase.
Well, I can't wait, man. Caron Butler, thank you very much for your time today. And Merry Christmas. I hope you get some fire gifts from the Butler children.
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yep. Stay away from that Mountain Dew.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Thanks, Ron. All right.
I mean, what a delight. What a delight. What did you think of now? I mean, you're not going to be able to listen to this episode now, Ron.
You
already heard
it. Yeah, that is fucked. Yep. You just lost your listen. Sucks for you guys.
Just download it anyways.
Fine. I will do that. Thanks. That was hilarious, though. He's actually a Mountain Dew fiend.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm down real bad, it sounds like.
He had the Jones real bad.
Dude, imagine the people who never become millionaires and recognize that they're Mountain Dew fiends. I'm looking at you, state of West Virginia.
I'm naming names, yeah.
But, like, people really, really get addicted to Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. My father, I think I've told this story before. My father, he knew the distributor. I can't remember who Mountain Dew's owned by, whether it's Pepsi. Or is it Pepsi?
Yeah.
So he knew, like, a local distributor. So when they were testing Mountain Dew, he was one of the first people, like, in the country to try it. And they were like, oh, well, what do you think? So he's partially responsible because he loved it.
Because he said it's good.
Yeah, he's partially responsible for Caron Butler's Mountain Dew addiction.
Damn.
Yeah.
Just the first one to try, like,
that's
Coke
what I mean.
In the U.S.
Right. Like, yeah, he's like, yeah, people are going to love it.
Cocaine is good.
Yeah, people are going
to
love it.
Pops is basically Ronald Reagan. Wow. Mountain Dew's crap.
Put Mountain Dew in the hood. And
it happens.
Racine. Damn.
Yeah, from Rosendale to Racine. That's how it goes down. how much did you enjoy me trying to bait him into saying anything other than Kobe Bryant?
Bro, he was making all the Kobe Bryant points I ever wanted to hear, bro. He's a closer. He's a killer. He's better than all the players you
It's
like.
All getting cut. No, I was after he said he made the most game winners, I was going to counterpoint him with he's also got the most misses.
Damn. God, you didn't.
No, he's too
minute. Oh yeah,
he was too close of a pal. I didn't want to have him down like that. Clearly, players are always going to respect Kobe more than me and Tyler.
Dude, I didn't realize he was locked up. I didn't realize Caron was locked up. I saw the story that he got like a SWAT team ran in his house or some shit like that, and while he was working at Burger King, God damn, bro. Yeah,
and it was like one of like the very rare good cops. Like was like, I know that wasn't him. And, like, was like, I'm going to, like, watch over him. Otherwise, he would have just been another guy locked up. Never would have known about him.
Right. Think all the other, like, same with the Mountain Dew shit. Like, think all the people who, like, didn't have the benefit of, like, a
Kobe Bryant yelling at you.
Yeah, right. up to, like, kick the habit.
Yeah.
Just slap the throat out of his hand. What the fuck are you doing?
That killed me. A 2-liter, too. A 2-liter. He's just, like, taking fucking nips of it. He's got a flask.
He's high-fiving, guys. Yeah.
Is it any surprise Kobe only let him on the team for season?
Right. No, your mic's off, but I heard you, and it was definitely no surprise that Kobe was like, get this Mountain Dew drinking son of a bitch away from me.
Bring in Dwight Howard, the guy that takes care of his body and eats right.
Yeah, they traded him for Kwame. Like, not exactly a winning trade.
Oh,
man. Yeah, no, that he was part of the Kwame trade. But, yeah, that was Caron Butler. Just a delightful interview. Delightful human being. He was all in on that Calhoun question, too. That was perfect. That was a good looks big cat for reminding me to ask that. Is Tyler gone?
Yeah, UConn people like talking about Jim Calhoun.
Just got my,
they sure
got
do.
Brody.
Yeah, no, I feel like there was a whole other UConn section we could have got into.
I'm glad we did.
I was going to ask, I initially earlier today thought about asking like an all-time UConn five versus an all-time Kentucky starting five just to hear you two go at it, but I forgot during the interview.
We'll get them back on.
Mm-hmm. I like that he's looking over Boogie, too.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. When I asked him the young guys, he's like, oh, Udonis Haslam.
But that's my buck, yeah. Manu Ginobili, yeah.
Yeah, my young bull Kareem. Like, what happened? Yeah. A
few Blackbeards trying to get wet behind the ear.
Oh, man. So, yeah, shout out the Retired Players Association for another banger of a guest.
Yes.
fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. In playing production. With that taco like my name is Paco. Gigi got those. Gigi got those. Gigi got those. Gigi claws. It's taco time. Twas the night before Christmas. I'm sleigh riding. Got that gap beside me, so don't try me. Tiny Tim wants 2K, he was good all year. His mama got a bet he can see her taco from the rear. Mrs. Claus gon' be okay, she won't shed a tear. She know Gigi like to play, I've been good all year. Trading OZ of the loud for an Xbox One. Take a pull, this shit, wiggle, wiggle. Drop off the sack, it's Asa Luego. Talk a time, you call me Pedro. Isabella, she call it the Yako. Kicked off her shit, it's okay though. Gigi, 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 bad bitch on my lap, telling me her Christmas list. She gon' get everything she wants. Hope she wants this dick. Order 40s by the crate, call me Nucky North Pole. Jordan Force on the boardwalk, Mikey Sorrentino. Drop off these presents, then it's taco time. Throw a bitch off with the glass, reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Throw a bitch off the glass and duck my balls in a taco, man. It's taco time. It's yako time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco. It's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes yeah. Once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Pop.
We on a building, but y'all act like you don't know. It's Geechee Clouds and Young Rudolph Ho. And we for the kids, but we love these new thoughts more. I seen Geechee reverse 362 tacos. Same time, dang, that's hang time. If yo dame fine, he'll grab the reins, make me change flight and take a straight line to your girl house, unwrapping your girl blouse and do mic and drills all night inside your girl mouth. Flying around the world of view from the top of 7. Geechee break a mouth, I'll take a sloppy second. I ain't a choosy deer, show me them boobies, dear. Quit frontin', I know which list had you this year. Waited all evening, taco so good it don't even need seasoning. And once the sun is down, the chimney ain't the only thing we coming down. Yo, fupa gon' be my chalupa. Stuck my balls in your taco, say booyah, booyah. I once saw Geechee snatch a 6'4" dude with a beard's hoe. Toss her off the backboard, dunks this guy's hoe on him. Shatters the backboard, pieces of glass go everywhere, it's in the taco. Very dangerous situation, supremely disrespectful. I come through on the baseline, 720, whole arm in the taco like Vince Carter, I'm just hanging there. People like,
is it the shoes?
Nah, bitch, is it the hooves? Rangers don't wear shoes,
Claus,
idiot.
Got them hoes, fuck nigga, you know. Why you standing under mistletoe with a bitch built like a pot roast? Said your bitch built like a pot roast. Tongue all in a throat. Damn, that's a big hoe. Goddamn, nigga, that's a big hoe. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.